We are coming to the Word now. Open up to Matthew's Gospel. We'll be in chapter 5 this morning in the Beatitudes. If you've been gone, I know this is summer, so maybe you've been gone. Maybe summer vacation has hit and you've been away. I just want to remind us that we're in our fourth week, gleaning wisdom and grace from this section in Matthew's Gospel, which contains a large amount of Jesus' teaching. We commonly refer to the beginning of this as the Beatitudes. And what we've been saying so far is that these Beatitudes are eight characteristics that result in experiencing the blessings of God. So maybe a more accurate way to put that is these are characteristics of God's people. Those are the people who have put in their faith and trust in following Jesus, trusted in his grace and mercy and forgiveness, and are now called children of God, welcome into the family and the kingdom of God. And these Beatitudes are the way we flourish in the kingdom now. And we long for the kingdom more because it is perfect flourishing in all these ways in the kingdom of God. But I wanted us to see throughout these week that this is the way we flourish in the kingdom. And there's an already not yet shape to all the Beatitudes. There's some blessing now, and there's perfect blessing later. So to be clear, these blessings aren't do this, get this. That's not how the kingdom works. It's be this type of person. Because you are following Jesus and this is who he's helping and shaping you to be. Do these things and they result in these ends, these blessings from God. This is the blessed life, the good life as God created it to be. And so in the Beatitudes we're looking at, each one of them has this already not yet a type of flourishing now and in the future. This morning, sorry for those of you who are a little bit hungry this morning, but we're going to talk a lot about hunger in our Beatitude this morning. Maybe some of you remember being taught at some point in school or whenever why it is that human beings get hungry. We know that we need it for energy, to stay healthy, it's for fuel, it's for recovery, all those things. But that these blessings come, or actually let's stay with that imagery, that though that is true, it made me curious to think, well, why how does that happen? How do we know that we're hungry? And I won't get into all the details. You can look that up and get those answers. But it comes down to there's all these nerves and hormones that send messages from your stomach and around your stomach to your brain that says, hey, we're hungry. And there's some people, I found out that if you damage a certain part of your brain, that message gets cut off. So you don't know that you're hungry. Your body knows it needs food, but you just don't feel that sensation of hunger. And the tragedy of that is that then you don't know what it is to be satisfied, to have that hunger satisfied. Want us to hold on to that this morning, tuck that away for a bit, and I want to redirect us to the Beatitude that's talking about using hunger and thirst for a metaphor, for a deeper desire, the desire of our hearts to be fully satisfied. Over the last weeks, we've said everybody desires the good life. We want to live the best life we can. We all define that slightly differently on our own terms. But God delivers that, the good life, the way life is meant to be, created to be, through making us the people we were meant to be. So he's using this metaphor for the desires of our hearts, that hunger that needs to be filled, the things that drive you to sacrifice and to set aside time for those things that you think will satisfy you. So this morning, I want to just get right to our passage where we've been doing it starting in chapter 5, verse 1, and reading through up and through our next Beatitude. So we'll do that again this morning, reading through verse 6. So follow along, Matthew 5, 1 through 6. Seeking the crowds, he, Jesus, went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." These are Jesus' word as we receive them as food for our souls this morning. Circling back, I want to ask us, what do you hunger for? What are the things that you, in your mind and in your heart, you believe, if I run after these things, if I attain these things, if I get these things, then I will be satisfied in life? What are those things, as we said, that you're willing to sacrifice time and effort and energy in order that you'll be satisfied in some sense? Is it more money, success, popularity? Is it comfort? Is it more time in your schedule? Is it more time for leisure things? What is driving you that you believe deep down inside it will satisfy you to some degree? Those are things that are driving you, that are moving you, those things that wake you up in the morning, get you going. What is driving you in your life? Whatever those things are, that shows what you are hungering and thirsting after. I remember back in my corporate days in corporate America in the health insurance industry, I applied for a job that was partially in sales. And I thought the interview went really, really well. And they called me back and said, "Actually, yeah, we can't give you that job." And the reason was, in the hiring manager's words, was he told me that you're just not hungry enough for money. And I thought to myself, I never thought of being money hungry as a virtue, but I think I know what I knew what he was saying, that there just wasn't this deep drive in me to make as much money as possible by selling as many of whatever we were selling as possible. I didn't have that fire in my belly, that desire. I didn't look to be satisfied by that in that job. That's a problem, because that's how they make their money. But that points to the fact that we all have hungering and thirsting after something, and we believe that it will satisfy us. But Jesus, in this beatitude, is directing us to a specific hunger that God delights in satisfying. It's not that it has the potential to. He says, this will satisfy you. This type of hunger, this type of drive will give you satisfaction. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I don't want to get too far into our conversation without first helping us understand that it's kind of a churchy word, righteousness. It's one of those words, we all say it and we go, we know what that means. And then we go, I'm not sure I know what that actually means. First of all, whose righteousness are we talking about? We're talking about the righteousness of God. The hungering, thirsting is for the righteousness of God. So what is the righteousness of God? And the simplest way I could say it, partially using the root word there, is just, it's the rightness and goodness of God. That he's just, truthful, trustworthy, faithful. Many passages in Scripture, that his righteousness is associated with his power in redemption and salvation. There's a transformative factor or nature to it. It's life-giving. His righteousness is not just his own. It is effective in producing life. It's an expression of his power and glory. All those things wrapped up in God's righteousness. Our beatitude says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. To help us understand how that works, I want to show us essentially these steps of satisfaction in God's righteousness. Kind of three steps or levels of things that we do in order that we see the blessing of God's righteousness. These are in your bulletin. We'll have the points on the front here. We're going to talk about an encounter with God's righteousness, a hunger for God's righteousness, and the pursuit of God's righteousness. So in order to receive the blessing of God's righteousness, we need to encounter it, hunger for it, and pursue it. Encounter, hunger, and pursue it. The blessing of God's righteousness all starts with that first one. We need to encounter God's righteousness. What do I mean by encounter? Very simply, I mean to come face to face with who God is, with His righteousness, the righteousness of God, and to be moved by it, to have a meaningful encounter with God's righteousness by seeing it as powerful, as something we want, as something we need, as something that's missing in the world around us and within us. I remember before trusting in Jesus, feeling this very deep emotion of feeling that there's got to be more to life than what I see and is happening around me. There's got to be a deeper meaning for all this. And I looked around and I saw that, and as anybody can see, that the world is broken. The world is broken. It's messed up. But then I saw something more powerful as I started to see a little bit of God's righteousness, that He is just and good and all these things. And I said, wait a minute, there's something broken in me. There's something messed up in me. The brokenness of sin has taken its toll on my heart. And then we've talked about that in a previous beatitude. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. To recognize that God is perfectly righteous and we are nowhere near that. We have completely missed the mark. So being poor in spirit, we see the wrongness of the world, the wrongness within ourselves, and then we can encounter the righteousness of God, especially as it's revealed to us, manifested in Jesus. So this encounter is twofold. It's one, seeing the world around us, seeing it's broken, seeing we are broken, and then seeing the beauty of God expressed through Jesus, right? That we are living out or seeing this righteousness and having this encounter where we now desire. It's almost like if you in Alaska, they have some very dark months, literally no light for months during their winter season. It's like I imagine that going through that season and then seeing your first sunset come up and just the beauty of it, having been in the dark for so long. It's magnificent. It's powerful. It moves you. It changes you. That's a picture of what seeing God's righteousness does within us. The lights come on. The lights of your heart, your spirit. There's an what we call an enlightenment, that you can see God for who He is, or at least start to. The early church father, Augustine, in his book that is essentially his testimony, his book called Confessions, he says this famous quote. He says, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in You." Talking about God. Our hearts are restless, always churning for something. The next thing will satisfy me. Oh, it didn't. It's the next thing, the next level. Whatever it is you're chasing, he's saying our hearts will constantly be hungering and thirsting and restless within us until we discover who God is. And the blessing in this encounter causes us to hunger to know who Jesus is. Again, it produces something. It changes something in us that, having had this encounter, we now want to know, who is this Jesus? Who is this righteous King of heaven? And as we discover, hopefully we'll hear more of the gospel and discover that Jesus actually became our righteousness for us. That was part of his mission in coming from heaven to earth, that we realize he became our righteousness because we could never become righteous on our own. Paul says your attempts at becoming righteous to be good and just and all those things, it's like filthy rags. It doesn't amount to anything in the kingdom of God. So Jesus comes in and becomes the righteousness for all those who believe, and that's the first part of that blessing. The lights come on, and then you start to see that, wait a minute, I can never be good enough, but Jesus was perfect. And then he gave his righteous life for my unrighteous life so that I could trust in him and become righteous. It's amazing. And I want to caution us in two dangers, because I don't want us to get caught here, because we won't progress to the next phases of blessing in God's righteousness if we get stuck here. So two dangers. One is, the first is that we can't get caught up in thinking that we're pretty good people. That kept me from God for a long time. I thought I was decent as a human being, not like some other people. I didn't murder people, all those things that you point to and go, at least I'm not that bad. But that can be a stumbling block for us if we truly believe that. And as you walk with Jesus, that can still be a stumbling block because you think, maybe I've arrived and I've kind of plateaued and I'm doing pretty good now. That comfort says, I'm satisfied and I don't need anymore. It's meant to not just satisfy us in the sense of it's not there anymore, but to just whet our appetite for more of Jesus. Right? So we don't give up on hungering. We don't just feel satisfied within ourselves. It's like that person we talked about at the beginning of our time this morning, that they're unable to feel the hunger anymore. Therefore, they won't be satisfied the way they're meant to be. Even worse, a second danger, it's an opposite danger, in that we can satisfy God's righteousness on our own and be okay with all of that. In Luke 6:25, Jesus says, "Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry." It's the opposite of our beatitude for this morning. He says, hunger, you'll be satisfied. But the opposite is true. If you don't have a hunger for God, you will never be satisfied. This world can't satisfy you. Jesus won't satisfy you if he's not the one you hunger for. It's like a kid who spoils their appetite on goodies before eating a steak dinner. You just miss out. You're eating the junk food of the world, and there's no room for the good spiritual food of Christ. Remember, I said that one aspect of God's righteousness is that it transforms us. So that a true encounter with God's righteousness will always change us. And at the core, this encounter will place in us a new appetite. You've probably experienced that in your life as you got older, that your appetite actually changes, your taste buds literally change. And so there's things that you didn't like as a kid that you now like, or things you used to like that just don't taste right anymore. That's kind of what's going on when you encounter God's righteousness. God stirs within you a different appetite. You start to want those things of God. He calls it a hunger for God's righteousness. Meaning we start to be hungry for the things of God. Jesus calls it a hunger and thirst for righteousness. We used to desire unrighteousness, and that was it. Think about all the things before you knew who Jesus was. All those desires you have, those unrighteous desires. God is looking to transform those, not get rid of your desires, but remake them so your appetite is now directed towards him. It's directed towards his righteousness. You're not satisfied with those other things you used to be satisfied to for an extent. You start to think and desire, hunger for the things of God. So you desire to actually hear from God. You don't pray anymore to check off a box, did my devotional today. You're hungry to hear from God and to tell God what is going on and share your heart with Him. Share your life with Him. Be directed by Him. You go to God's Word, seeing, looking and expecting to be changed from it, because He promises that you read His Word, it never comes back void. It always changes. It's always life-giving. Not just to check off, again, that box, I did my devotional. But to be changed, to increase that hunger for more of Jesus. It won't be a mountaintop experience every time. But He promises from one degree to the next, you will be changed. So that whenever you pick up your word, whenever you pray, there will be something that changes. It may be so small in that moment, you don't even know it. But over time, God is building, increasing that hunger for righteousness, satisfying you in the righteousness of God, reading about who God is, and you say, I love this God. I want more of this God. And all that God requires from us, listen to this, He just says, all I want from you, I want you to just stay hungry. Stay hungry for righteousness. He will always satisfy our hunger in righteousness in some way. And the only cost is to remain hungry. Do you want more of Jesus like we sang before? Stay hungry for Jesus. He delights in showing you more of Himself. I love the way that Puritan pastor theologian Thomas Watson said it. He said, if a friend invites guests to his table, he does not expect them to bring money to pay for their dinner, but only come with an appetite. You hear what he's saying? That's what Jesus says to us. Friend, don't bring your righteousness to me like it's going to impress me or pay for anything. Bring your appetite. Bring your hunger for me, and I'll satisfy that. The prophet Isaiah said this way, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Jesus paid the price. You come hungry. That's what he says, that you're coming to the Lord's table and you're receiving grace upon grace. If you're hungry for it, if you came already full of your own self or the things of the world, it won't be much good to you. Won't taste like a meal to you. How can we tell if we got this kind of hunger for righteousness? The way we tell is actually answering a follow-up question, which is, how satisfied are you in Jesus? Is Jesus satisfying to you? Are you hungry? Do you feel yourself like wanting more of Jesus? I want to know you more, not just stuff about you, but to be in relationship with you and go deeper with you. I want to learn and grow, expand my heart, expand my life in the way I serve you, the way I bring you glory, the way I understand all of that. It's endless. There's endless opportunity to learn and grow. It's how Jesus says it. He says, come to the buffet table of God's righteousness. Come and eat over and over and over. Every time you come to the table, you'll be satisfied. You'll be satisfied in Jesus. Jesus says it this way, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Means you'll never be hungry and thirsty for anyone but Him. But every time you feel that hunger and thirst, you will be satisfied if you go to Him and seek His righteousness. As a follower of Jesus, are you skipping on feasting on the truths of the gospel? Are you trying to live on little bite-sized snacks of God's righteousness? That will get you just so far, but you won't experience the satisfaction of who Jesus is in just small amounts. Are you skipping meals altogether? Is there dust on the Bible? Is there no place where you've been praying consistently? Last part of this is the blessing continues as our hunger for righteousness continues to grow, and it displays itself in continuing to pursue this righteousness of God. Jesus tells us later in Matthew's gospel, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles," those who don't follow God, "seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but what?" He says, but don't be anxious, don't worry about all these physical things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the priority, he says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added. God designed you. He knows that you still have physical hunger, physical thirst. You need to be clothed. But he says, don't worry yourself over those things. Keep stoking that hunger for righteousness and be satisfied. I will take care of you. As part of this whole thing, I will. If you follow me, I will be your God. You will be my people. I will take care of you. I'll provide for you, protect you. He says, but first, seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. And here's the evidence that our appetites are changed, and now we're pursuing the things of righteousness, the things of God, that we continue to seek out, living this out in our lives. In other words, you're not just enjoying seeing, reading, hearing about the righteousness of God, but now there's something different that happens in your life. I enjoy doing the things of God. I enjoy showing the character of God. I enjoy sharing the good news of the gospel that shows people how to be saved by God. I enjoy living my life righteously, upright, just, having mercy, showing compassion. All these things, they start to actually, you start to enjoy them. It's not so much a task anymore, but you're pursuing righteousness, not only in reading it or praying it, but living it out. And God continues to satisfy you. When you live righteously, you will be satisfied in that you're showing people who God is. You're living out the kingdom now. You're flourishing in a broken world, but now. I think of this as this endless cycle, this endless cycle of righteousness. Pastor and author Martin Lloyd-Jones says it this way: a Christian who is at the same time is hungry and thirsty, and yet he is filled. And the more he is filled, the more he hungers and thirsts. This is the blessedness of the Christian life. Did you hear that? The more you hunger and thirst, the more you're satisfied. The more you're satisfied, the more you hunger and thirst for more. It's this circle, this endless circle of hungering, thirsting for the righteousness of God, but actually in that circle, consistently being satisfied. Think about your favorite meal that you just love to have. Think about how it feels to eat that meal. Typically, you may want more, but there's a point where your stomach tells you, hey, we're pretty satisfied. And you know, going on beyond that point, you can't handle that for now. But the meal at that moment, it satisfies you. It does its job, right? The righteousness of God is a little like that, in that you'll still be hungry. You're still going to need another meal, even if it's your favorite. But you're going to enjoy it then. You're going to be satisfied then. And you'll hunger even more for the next one. I can't wait till I have that meal again. If you're a kid, mom, could you cook that meal again? You're satisfied, but you're still hungering and longing for more. That's a picture of what Jesus is talking about here, to continually pursue the righteousness of God. And all of this hungering and thirsting is all leading to what we read in one of the other Beatitudes, that the meek will inherit the earth. And what he's talking about is not a plot of land, but often in the Old Testament especially, the land or the earth refers to the promised land, not just a spot, a little plot, a land, but the place where God has promised us. And what he's saying is you will be satisfied now in bite-sized chunks, in meals here and there, but there's coming a time when you'll be fully satisfied, that you'll see and receive the righteousness of God. You will live righteously. You'll enjoy righteousness. It will be perfect. You'll sense the perfect. You'll be in the presence of the one who is perfectly righteous. And actually, by his grace, be able to live that out perfectly. And continually be satisfied. Imagine if you could take that favorite meal and just eat it over and over. And it's satisfying every time. And you don't feel sick. And you don't gain weight. And it's just all good. That's what he's talking about here, that you'll be looking at, gazing at the glory of God, and you'll always be satisfied with it and always just hunger for more. And the more you hunger, the more you receive. And it just keeps going, more and more righteousness. I want to close by saying this. The thing that I want to exhort us to is be hungry, stay hungry. A lot of you say, amen, it's close to lunch, I'm there. Not what we're talking about. Be hungry, stay hungry for God, for God's righteousness. Don't settle for the junk food of the world. Don't settle for being satisfied by anything less than the righteousness of God. Those other things, they will fill you for a while, but then they'll steal from you. They'll take from you. They won't be satisfying anymore. And the more you get, the more you'll want, but you'll never be satisfied. Just be, as Augustine said, you'll always be restless. It's not the way God's righteousness works. If you hunger for God's righteousness, he will satisfy you. And he will continue to satisfy. Though you hunger, you'll continually be satisfied. So how do we do that? How do we practically do that? Part of it is feasting on the truths of the gospel, who Jesus is, what he's done, what he's continuing to do in our lives, and being transformed by all of that. We feast on the word of God, not just looking to check off that box, but to hear from God. Lord, what are you telling me today? There was a pastor that once said to his congregation, he says, you know what? Every single morning I hear God's voice. Every single morning I hear from God. And the crowd is kind of shocked that he's making this public statement. But he says, every day when I hear or read the word of God, I'm hearing the very words of God, God's voice. He has spoken on the pages of the Bible. And so if we want to hear, if we want to feast on him, we feast on these things that he has given us to show the righteousness of God revealed through Jesus. One last thing. This might be foreign to us. I think we've lost this as a modern day church as a whole. The idea of fasting. Now, maybe some of you fast. The point of this, and it's been going on since God told us to do it, since the beginning of humankind, we've fasted in order to see, to feel that hunger, those hunger pains, and to know that that is how we are supposed to hunger and thirst after God. That he will satisfy those physical hungers, but more importantly, he wants to satisfy that hunger in our soul to give us rest, rest in him, to give us more of the blessing. So this morning we go away with be hungry, stay hungry for God's righteousness, and I promise, because the Bible promises, you will be satisfied. Let's pray. Father, you are so good and kind to us that by your grace we can know who you are, that we can experience your righteousness, to know it for ourselves, though we could never do it on our own. You've done it for us in Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would increase our hunger for you more than the things we hunger for in this world, that we would hunger deeply for you, that we wouldn't be satisfied till we get more of you, see more of you, experience more of you, live out more of your righteousness. so that we will be satisfied. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.